Duncan will speak again today about 12:50. You'll hear it right here on The Fan. And you'll hear this young lady ask questions during that press conference. We go to the Weisheart Right, We Make It Right, Call Kyle Wright hotline. She covers the Browns for The Plain Dealer, Cleveland.com, the Orange and Brown Talk podcast. You want to hear everything she has to say.
Man, is she busy.
Yeah, she is. She's Mary Kay Cabot. Hi, Mary Kay.
Hi, Mary Kay.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
We're doing well. Do you think this is more of what they saw from Deshaun or what they didn't see from Shadur?
Well, I think there are some football things here that people really need to remember. Todd Monken is going out and trying to win in Jacksonville on September 13th. This was a football decision. Now, it's not only things that we see out here on the football field. It's things that they do in the classroom, and it's the game planning that they want to do that nobody has seen anything of yet, right? They believe that they can use Deshaun Watson's mobility in that game, and they can use cadence as a weapon in that game. And there's just a lot of things that he's going to be ready to do on September 13th that they don't feel Shadur is ready to do yet. And that's the whole key to this. This is a football decision through and through. Todd Monken is not going to do anything else other than go out and try to win that game. And he believes in his heart of hearts that Deshaun will give him that better chance. Now, does it mean that Shadur isn't good, that he's not going to be good? It doesn't mean any of that. He's coming up the learning curve, but here's another thing to remember. He's not building on what he learned last year in the Kevin Stefanski offense. It's all brand new to him. It's all brand new. And it's a QB control offense. It takes a lot to stand at that line of scrimmage and do all the things that you're expected to do in this Todd Monken offense. And he's going to get it. And he's getting it quickly, but he probably doesn't have it quite yet, because if he did, he would probably be starting this game on September 13th.
How close do you think it was in the end?
Well, I think it was close in large part because Shadur Sanders has done a really nice job of making plays throughout camp and throughout practice. And I know this is what is the hard part for people to understand. If you look out there and you see some of the clips on the internet and on Twitter, and you might think, oh, he's making more explosive plays. He's not throwing in the interceptions. And that is true. And sometimes I even think, geez, maybe you should just chuck everything else out the window and go with the guy that has been making more explosive plays. But that's really not how this all works. You have to operate effectively and efficiently to be able to get the job done, to be able to put yourself in position to make those explosive plays. So I just think that it was close. I do. I believe it was close. And I believe that Shadur is really, really so much better than he was last year. And if he gets in there, whenever he gets in there, I think he's going to do a really nice job. I just think they want him to be a little bit more seasoned before they throw him in there.
Mary Kay, that all makes perfect sense, I think. And I would guess we see Shadur at some point this year, unless Deshaun goes out and plays well and that lasts and he stays healthy and all that. The thing I wonder about, it almost seems to me that they've punted on the idea that they have a franchise quarterback on this team, because it's a small window to find out if you do with that 2027 draft and all those draft picks for capital to move up in with. It just seems to me, hey, you're going to miss your opportunity to show that you can be the guy. Is there anything to that?
No, not okay. at all. I'm all sorry. Right. I have to disagree with you all on right. that. Because he started 7 games last season, they do have a body of work on him in that offense, in that scheme, and I do believe that he will get opportunities to play this season and show what he can do in Todd Monken's scheme, and I think that it will be better off for him to be ready to play when he gets that opportunity, okay. to be able to go out there and function effectively and efficiently. If you throw him into this offense with this brand new offensive line and brand new rookie receivers and everybody learning new terminology and having very little practice time together so far, and expect him to go down to Jacksonville, have to use a silent count and all of the things that are going to happen on the road and get everybody's act together as the point guard of the team. If you throw him into that situation and he's not 100% ready for it, then I think you would be doing him a disservice as well as doing your football team a disservice. he's got to be ready to operate. He's got to be able to get in and out of the huddle as quickly as he needs to. He's got to get rid of the ball as quickly as he needs to. And that's just how it has to be. And once he's ready to do that, then I think he's going to be able to show out much better than he would if he's not ready. So that's what fans I wish could grasp, is the fact that it wouldn't be doing anybody any good for him to go out there before he's ready to play well.
All right, let me throw this out for devil's advocate. We hear Dylan Gabriel has been phenomenal with all that stuff. Why, he's not even in the conversation anymore, right?
You mean to go out and start?
To run the offense.
I mean, he didn't even get a chance.
No, he did not get a chance because they had to make a decision here. They didn't want to do a three-way quarterback competition and divide the reps up that way. He was not in the mix to be the starter. But he does do a nice job of operating the scheme and handling things at the line of scrimmage and all that kind of stuff because he has experience doing that. You know, he's done that. Deshaun has done that. Deshaun was in a quarterback control offense in Houston where you have all of that responsibility. And Shador's learning it. There's nothing wrong with it. There's no shame in having to learn a new skill. There's no shame in it. Sometimes it just takes a little bit of time. So, we'll see what Dylan can do on Thursday night. But once again, it's really hard to compare apples to apples when he's going to be with the backups.
I often wonder, what did Dylan Gabriel do wrong? You know, and then
got hurt, Andy.
Well, yeah, and then you wonder, and then I think the other part of it is, you know, what was Kevin thinking when all this stuff was going down? And then you also have to wonder, and I hate to say it, but there's probably some politics to everything here, and there's money to everything too. I mean, I know we all want to sit here and think that, and I hope that it's Todd Monken deciding this guy is my first best quarterback, this guy is my second, this guy is my third, but. I mean, reality tells you it's not always that way. If I'm wrong, tell me I'm wrong.
Well, I just don't believe that that's how it's going down right now. I do believe that he feels like Deshaun gives him the best chance to win, that Shador is the backup, and that Dylan is the number three quarterback if he remains on this roster. And after Thursday night, maybe somebody will see something in him and say, hey, we need another backup on our roster, and we're willing to give you something for him. So maybe he'll end up here. Maybe he won't. But there is another point that I would like to make here about Deshaun, and I understand that why this is difficult for people to understand this. He hasn't been the Houston version of himself, even in this camp. He still is knocking off the rust. He really is. And he doesn't have the chemistry with some of these guys and the timing with some of these receivers and these pass catchers that he really needs. And he's got a long way to go to get up to speed by September 13th. He had to alternate days, and they have to make up for some lost time here. He did not throw the ball ever last year to Jerry Jeudy or to Isaiah Bond or to Harold Fannin. I mean, Shador actually has the edge in that regard because he threw to those guys. So Deshaun has plenty of catching up to do, and it doesn't look like a well-oiled machine yet, but I think that Todd Monken should be able to find enough good things for him to do that he can go out there, manage the game effectively, get them in and out of situations, get rid of the ball quickly enough, or at least this is his thinking, this is Todd's thinking, that he can give him the best chance to win. But right now, to me, it looks like they still have a long way to go.
Mary Kay, should they have just named him the starter before training camp and given him the reps so that maybe the offense would be more ready to go?
Well, you know, you guys know that I said that back in April, and I got in some hot water for that with some people.
Didn't care for you very much when you said that, Mary Kay.
No, but the reason why I said it is because, and really I was mostly talking about, let him take all the first team reps in OTAs. That's what I thought would be an important thing to do, because from what I saw in April at the voluntary mini camp, I saw one quarterback who was ready to completely operate this scheme and one who was going to have a long way to go. And it was going to depend on how fast Shador was going to be able to come up that learning curve and meet Deshaun and close that gap. But he had a long way to go at that point. And when I saw that, I thought, call it now, at least give him all the first team reps, let Deshaun knock the rust off, let him get his timing down with Casey and Denzel and Isaiah Bond and Jerry Jeudy, if you really think in your heart of hearts he's your starting quarterback. That's why I felt the way that I did back then, because it did seem to me that Shador had a pretty steep learning curve in this sort of complicated QB control offense. But they had their reasons for doing what they did. They wanted to make it a fair competition. They wanted to give Shador a chance to be the starting quarterback of this team. And it didn't work out that way where he was able to do that. But I do understand why they wanted to see it. And now when he has to go out there and play this season, which we all know he will be more ready than he would have been.
Mary Kay, I know we spend a lot of time talking about the quarterbacks here. And if the starters aren't going to play on Thursday, what is up for grabs as far as making a roster spot on Thursday night? And, you know, how many of you, I'm wondering what, you know, defensively, what they're going to look like, you know, depth-wise when the season starts. So I'm just curious, what spots do you think are up for grabs on Thursday?
You know, the most intriguing thing to me on Thursday night, really, I'm interested to see how Dylan Gabriel does, and I'm also interested to see Talon Green.
Now we're talking Mary Kay.
Right? I want to see Talon Green. I've always been intrigued by him. On draft day, before they drafted him, I wrote a column saying they should draft Talon Green. So I was very happy when they did that, because I just thought he brings such a unique skill set, 6'6", 4.36 in the 40. Who doesn't want to see that on Thursday night? So I think it gives fans a reason to tune in and go to the game. It's one of the things that I'm really going to be watching for. There aren't very, very many positions up for grabs right now. I mean, we pretty much know who's going to make the team and who's not going to make the team. And, you know, I think in my mind, it's most intriguing to watch those two guys and see where they're going to land when all is said and done. There are a few receivers that, you know, you might want to say, hey, you know, what's going to happen with a Luke Floria, who's had an excellent, excellent camp. And, you know, what happens with some of those kind of guys. But for the most part, I think most positions are settled.
Mary Kay, we've enjoyed your coverage. You've done a great job on all this stuff. We'll keep reading, and I look forward to seeing Talon Green coming up on Thursday. Here we go.
Thanks Mary Kay.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
Mary Kay Cabot, Plain Dealer, Cleveland.com, Orange and Brown Talk Podcast.
They believe that they can use Deshaun Watson's mobility in that game, and they can use cadence as a weapon in that game. And there's just a lot of things that he's going to be ready to do on September 13th that they don't feel Shador is ready to do yet.
It's an interesting thought. Clearly, they think he's not ready. That was Mary Kay Cabot, PlainDealerCleveland.com, with us in the last segment. If you missed our conversation with Mary Kay any moment in our show, any moment in any of our shows, use the Rewind feature on the Odyssey app. It's powered by Integrated Restoration, your local experts in water, fire, and storm disaster restoration. Mm. Jeff Phelps, Andy Baskin.
I mean,
they clearly think he's not ready.
I don't know if they... Is it that they don't think he, or they think Deshaun is more ready to move the football team down the field? So,
you know, a lot of guys in
the organization thought he was ready to do it last year, and it may have been because they had no other choice, because they had injured quarterbacks and traded everybody away.
New offense and all that stuff. It's true, but it's also a new offense for Watson. It's new offense for Gabriel.
Is there any way we head into the season and this quarterback room doesn't look like it does now? Remember, a year ago.
You mean like new guy come in?
Yeah.
Andy, I don't see it. You know, this is starting. It's had this feel for some time to me. And because, again, I'm not crazy about the quarterbacks who are here. I thought there were other options this offseason, if you wanted to do it, that you could go get a guy who could give you a better chance to win. I just thought
so
that.
But
it's smelling to me completely like a philosophy that gets used a lot, and it's usually a good one. Build your team and then drop your quarterback in.
Yeah, I'm with it. I just, you know, we're really just, we're kind of stuck in the mud on this too, because we want to believe that it's more difficult to move out the quarterback or do this or that. I'm going back to Saturday's press conference because I think a lot of things were said, and Todd Monken was talking, you know, a little bit about, someone said, I can't remember what it was, just talking about positionally and winning battles to get a position in every, and, you know, he went out of his way to say it's not, you know, we sit here and we talk about quarterback all the time, but, you know, you're constantly fighting for your position no matter where you are on the field. And, you know, we've sat here before and said, hey, I wonder what this defense is going to look like after teams make cuts at 5 o'clock on Sunday and trying to rebuild the defense. Now, it might be easier to put in to change defensive backs than it is to change out a quarterback, but there still probably would be a time in that 24-hour period on Sunday when teams are making cuts and trying to shape their roster between Sunday and Monday and maybe even Tuesday, that there could be a quarterback available and might be up for grabs in some way, shape, or form.
Part of me thinks that that would be a great thing.
I think a lot of people look at that. I mean, we look at that for every position but quarterback.
Yeah, they have four of them. Again, I would have brought somebody else in.
Originally.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would have too. But
they're in a tough spot because you just drafted.
But that would have been five quarterbacks here too, though,
yeah,
right?
You might not have drafted a guy. Who knows?
Yeah.
You drafted two last year. You already had Deshaun. He wasn't going anywhere because of the contract. Again, I wouldn't have put this group together. Rick is in Doylestown, home of the Chips. Right, Rick?
Absolutely. Thanks for taking the call, guys.
Yes, sir.
Hey.
Mary Kay hit it right on the head for you, Jeff, and I have to totally agree. You know, I'm 60-some years old, so I've seen a lot of things. And it just makes more sense to give Deshaun first shot at it. You know, I think he's actually doing Shador a big favor. He's grooming him. He's getting him ready. He's said all the right things about Shador. But you throw Shador in under the fire right now, like Mary Kay said, you know, what are you going to get? And here's the other thing. You put Shador in right away, and he fails or doesn't look good. You can't go back, and then you put in Deshaun. That, you know, it's not good where you can go the other way. Deshaun has earned the right to get a chance, you know. And look at it this way. You've got a $1 million car, and you got a $46 million car in your driveway. You can't get rid of either one. Which one are you going to drive?
Rick, I like it. I like
it. So, you know, you have to give him the chance. He's a veteran. He's got the experience. It's going to be tough them first two games. Now, if he goes down there and falls on his face, which, you know, I don't hope so. I'm a big Shador fan, but I don't wish nothing bad for Watson. I just want our best quarterback and have our team be as competitive as could possibly be. But I do believe Shador will have the opportunity to shine. I think Todd has taken his time with him. Let's just have a little patience. We may not like it. You know, I don't like Deshaun as a person, but I think he's deserved a right, you know, throughout all the years he's been here. You haven't heard hardly any of his teammates or locker room say anything poorly about him.
You know, I haven't really heard. Somebody brought this up yesterday.
Rick, thank you.
Have you heard anything either way? Like,
no.
I don't know that anyone's digging either.
Players are speaking today. The announcement wasn't made, you know, no players have been made available except Deshaun.
We had somebody going off yesterday just saying, oh, he's loved in the locker room. I don't know. I
haven't heard anything either way.
I know that if I was a player in a locker room and I have to answer questions about another player, I'm not a big fan of it.
You know, one thing Rick said, I don't know that Deshaun has earned this opportunity. I don't think he has. I mean, he hasn't played. He hasn't had a chance to be on the field to earn it. But with the veteran experience that he has, the contract that he has, Andy.
Yeah.
I mean, I understand it.
I said this.
There's one
I
other
said this 2 years ago.
Yeah. You know,
and well, it's one come other to fruition. Thing
I've said this offseason, and I think you've agreed. I have a hard time picturing Deshaun Watson, if he's healthy, standing there holding a clipboard while somebody else quarterbacks this team. Now, if he goes out and doesn't play very well, that
Jeff,
might change.
I mean, he could have probably done that while he was injured, right? Or at least been in the stadium.
You don't want to hurt that Achilles again.
I know you don't want to get run over on the sidelines. Yeah.
Tony's in Columbia Station, former home of Trent Richardson. Hello, Tony.
There we go. Good to talk to you guys as always.
And you.
Well, hey, I think the sooner everybody realizes the following, the better. There are a couple billion dollars being spent on a new facility in Berea, obviously. What's the most important thing that we need to make that a success? It's a quarterback. We clearly don't have one. And the front office clearly doesn't believe that we have one. So Deshaun Watson, that decision, it is made, and it lines up with every decision they've made since the end of last season. It's all about the 2027 draft, and Deshaun Watson gives us the best chance to have a higher draft pick. And we can't mess around. It has to be a top five pick. There's going to be so many teams in the market for drafting a QB.
You're pointing the same direction, Tony, that Andy and I are. And that's that 2027 draft.
And the opening day of 2029, right?
Yeah.
I hate to think that the team would be in limbo at that point. I want to keep thinking back to, okay, remember where the Indians were building as they left Municipal to go over to Jacobs at the time? And it was like, you saw that. You saw that momentum. Is that what the Browns are trying to do? Truthfully, I hope not. I'd like to see one playoff. What are we down to, like 30 games left in the stadium? Something like that?
Yeah, probably not too many.
With a nine, you probably got
3 years.
You'll get one game, one season with nine home games maybe. So
6, 7, and 8. So there you go.
Yeah. So
2026, 2027.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And so is that, can they do what the Indians did? I don't know.
Tim is in Bedford, home of the Bearcats, alma mater of one Tyvus Powell.
Hey, Tim.
Hello, Tim.
Hi, guys. First of all, shout out to Andy for being at the Life Bank Walk. I had a chance to meet him. I used to call you guys quite a bit a couple years ago, and I was on the list for the lung transplant. So I missed a couple years being laid up in that, but I'm doing well now.
Tim, it was good to meet you. Tim. Thanks for coming out. We had a great turnout, over 100 teams. It was a spectacular morning and emotional to say the least, but it's really cool to watch that event grow and then to get out and meet some great people like you.
Yeah, well, faith, family, and friends get you through a lot of stuff in life, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, I think Browns fans are saying the same thing right now.
Well, I've been a season ticket holder since 1970, and I got to agree with everything you guys have said so far yesterday and today, especially today. I said when this started happening, I told my brother, I said, they're gearing for the 27 draft. You got a good young group coming out, and I think that's what they're gearing for. They're not really, you don't want to blow off the season, but at the same time, it's a lot of things just defy logic. And it makes more sense that they're pushing towards the 27th season, which I agree with, because they're not going anywhere this year. The only thing my concern is that what kind of impact is it going to have on the young players? They've got a young, good squad, and they're building on it. I think Barry finally found out the way to draft. And, I mean, I'm still upset about them passing on Josh Allen. But my point is, my one question is, do you think the commissioner's decision to double the suspension when we got Watson? Because I remember we were looking at like a four-game suspension.
Yeah, four to six is what
11,
we thought. Yeah.
11 games or something like that, and I said, holy mackerel. I mean, that really threw a monkey wrench into the whole situation, I think.
Tim, thank you.
Where we're at today.
Glad you're doing well, bud.
Thank you, buddy. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Tim in Bedford. Yeah, since day one, Andy, the suspension became 11 games and everything else. It's nothing has gone right. All right? Not for Deshaun, not for the Browns, not for the position, not for the coach, not for the coaches. And maybe Deshaun can come back and play better this year and something, they salvage something out of this. On the other hand, if you come out and play well and you win games, does that defeat the purpose of 2027 draft? Oh, what a conundrum. We're going to talk more Browns coming up. Todd Monken in the noon hour will speak. Headlines coming up. Guardians back at 500. Sitting in a playoff spot right now, folks. A lot of stuff coming up on Baskin and Phelps. Coming up about an hour, 10 minutes, Todd Monken expected to speak about 12:50. If he's early, you'll hear it here. If he's late, you'll hear it here. If he's on time, guess what, Andy?
I think we're going to hear it here.
I think you'll
Jeff.
Hear it here.
I got a good feeling.
I think that's the way that's going to go.
Yes.
That's Andy Baskin, ladies and gentlemen, right there, man of the people.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Jeff Phelps. And the guy who's going to hit this button and bring his headlines is Mr. Dan Menigan.
Live from the quarterback capital of the world, here's Dan the Man Menigan.
All right, gentlemen, let's begin with some good news.
Andy gives you that great big, all excited lead, Dan. Right,
yeah,
let's
whatever.
Begin with some good news.
Yeah, let's go.
Well, I was trying to be professional.
It was fabulous.
I was trying to start now.
Yeah, it was
really
good.
Keep my eye on my copy. Be locked right in.
Locked in.
With my quadruple Windsor knot tie.
No emotion.
A tie knot that is so big that it looks like a goiter on my neck.
Bro, where is your Aquanet?
Goiters are rough.
Have you ever had a goiter?
No, nope. I have not.
You know why?
I don't wish that upon anyone.
That's why you should thank God for iodized salt. Thank you. People always want to put salt down.
Andy Baskin, man of the people, right there.
Now this is how headlines should begin.
That's really true.
Yeah. All right, gentlemen. So the PGA Tour and the LeBron James Family Foundation have announced a new partnership through the inaugural LeBron James Family Foundation Invitational at
Firestone
Country Club.
Hey.
Yeah, July 6th to the 7th. Series of integrative initiatives will combine professional golf and youth engagement and fundraising to create community impact for Akron, Ohio. That's pretty damn cool. I got to admit, I want to see which professionals show up. I want to see how many are there, but it's pretty damn cool.
Hey, good for LeBron. You know, he has never shied away from contributing to his community and has done a really good job. Really good job with it. Backing up Akron.
Yeah, he's got some really, really strong people working here too. And I mean, obviously he's got to worry about basketball. So, he's got to worry about basketball. I don't know if you know that or not.
No, he doesn't.
But that's somebody else.
He's got Maxie and Embiid and Jaylen Brown.
He's got some really, really sharp people running the foundation as well too, to make sure that things like that can happen. So good for Firestone. What are they going to do again? They're going to do like a.
So it's going to be a couple of days where they're going to have. I don't know if it's going to be. I think it sounds like it's going to be more of a golf outing than anything else. I don't know if it's going to be a tour stop or a championship or anything like that. We will see. But at least it's something being used for Firestone Country Club that involves the PGA Tour, which may open the door to more things involving the PGA Tour.
Sure. Which is a good deal.
Never mind.
Firestone doesn't need any doors opened for it with the PGA. The PGA is very well aware, but what they don't have right now is a tournament.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, will you get another one? Maybe, maybe not.
Also, the BMW Championship next year going to be down at Muirfield, which will be really cool.
I don't think it has anything to do with the course itself. The course is beautiful. It's a classic.
It's not
old
the course.
Style course.
No, it's not the course. It's a management thing. I mean, as far as that, why isn't the PGA here? Because they chose to go to Memphis like they were. I mean, let's not be honest. Let's be completely honest about it.
Dollars.
It's about money. Yep. It's about the FedEx Cup that they thought was going to be some grandioso thing that wasn't. And they turned their back on that great course. And
it's hard
for me to look away from that. Yeah. But let me put that aside, because I think it's awesome that you'll have charity work and then you'll have some of the PGA guys coming back here to help out with LeBron's foundation. So bottom line is the foundation wins,
the foundation.
Kids win, and that's what's important. But beyond that, the PGA is just, I'm still bitter about, you know, what's happened there.
I might be the only guy. Redoing that schedule, we'll see what it looks like.
One real quick thought.
Mm-hmm.
The FedEx Cup.
Yeah.
The NBA Cup. You ever seen them in the same place?
No, you haven't.
No, they just share the trophy.
Hey,
they just share the
trophy. I'll throw in another one. The Ohio Cup.
There it is.
Wouldn't shock me. All right, and another local story.
We need to get protected by more cups.
That involves...
So to speak.
You know, I could add on to where this story is going to go, but it's going to get me pulled into a meeting.
So what?
No. Don't get pulled into a meeting. Don't get pulled into a meeting.
As long as you have a job when it's over, it's okay.
It's only Tuesday.
So, I don't think we need to totally go into detail on the Jed York situation, the 49ers owner. I think most of the people know what's taking place with that.
Jed was lonely.
Fine local story. I think he was back home visiting some people, and he was lonely and decided to
was looking to visit another person.
Employ an independent contractor who was working her way through med school.
Wow.
Or law school.
Wow.
Law school, a lot too.
Wow.
And so the biggest thing that has come from this is that he was busted at a trailer park in East Palestine.
Oh. However.
I'm letting you go. You howevered.
Twice.
Two times.
The trailer park people.
It's the story I'm going to read.
There you go. Take it.
Yes.
Take it.
So the owner of the trailer park at which Jed York was arrested wants to make sure that it is known that he was simply pulled over there.
That's great.
And that he is not running a conglomerate of independent contractors.
It was not. Yeah, that was not Jed York's destination.
Good for the trailer park owner there.
He said, this is the kind of place you want to live in. He's got to do a little damage control that he didn't even, create any of the damage.
We are, and the sheriff has then added in saying that the message explaining that they just got off the phone with the chief of police. According to the chief, Jed York was arrested in the park because that's where he happened to be pulled over. They were not using the addresses in the park as a part of sting operations. So no stings at the trailer park and no conglomerates of independent contractors in the trailer park.
So you're saying no party at the park. Is that what you're saying?
Might be a party, but no sting operation. So you're safe in the party and no independent contracting.
The trailer park mobile home facility put this on their website. You ready?
Yeah.
Wheat Hill Mobile Home Community is a clean, quiet.
Wait. What did you say the name of it is?
Wheat Hill.
I thought he said Weed Hill. I was like, man, it must have been close to Athens, too.
Wheat Hill Mobile Home Community is a clean, quiet, and affordable place to call home. This is not the type of place that Jerry Springer would ever find people to be on his show. That's great.
Wow.
That's perfect. Great. I want to move there.
No, well, that's a sales pitch.
I want to move there.
I mean, why wouldn't you?
That's awesome.
Coming in lock, stock, and barrel.
Jed, you're running an NFL team. Insert your own thought here.
Well, again, you're home, you're visiting family, and you want to help the local community.
Yeah.
Wow, the New York Post had a headline saying, inside the trailer park where 49ers chief was arrested for allegedly trying to pay
to help the local community
with $140. Yes.
Yes.
Every little bit. Every little bit helps.
When you go to the link is gone. So
it's like Danny Noonan. Put it in the college jar. Put it in the college jar.
Oh, I hope Wheat Hill. If the Post story is not true, I hope Wheat Hill gets a nice little payday on that. Then
that doesn't sound like enough money in the jar. I had a burger and two Cokes.
$140, huh?
Get a burger and two Cokes.
Put it in the college jar.
Danny? Oh, I had a couple burgers in there.
Who are you? That's your nephew. Well, we're running a restaurant? So MLB Commissioner Rob Manfred hopped on to the Little League. I forget what they call the game, but it's always a blast when they do it, where Major League Baseball goes to Williamsport for the Little League World Series. They play a game on the minor league field there, and they invite all the Little Leaguers in. And it's always outstanding when they do it. I think it's called the Little League Classic.
Yeah, MLB Little League Classic.
And it was a blast, as always, when they did it. But Rob Manfred sat down with Carl Ravitch and Eduardo Perez.
Oh, yeah.
And they were talking about
the exploiting 14-year-olds for ratings, for baseball ratings? What?
Wow.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. What?
That'll get you pulled into a meeting, too.
Another
Shut
segment.
Up, Menegan. What? Shut up.
Oh, you were going to say something. Okay, go ahead.
Shut up, Menegan.
Yes.
So they then brought up, of course, the looming doomsday clock.
Ooh.
Over the head on December 1st, which is pretty much going to start the lockout at 11:59 p.m. on December 1st. And so Rob Manfred saying we are meeting regularly, which is good. Every week we've had days where we've met with the players. It's early, but we've got a lot to work with and we're at it. Look, our goal is to make a deal. We want to make a deal. We want to play baseball next year. We're planning on playing baseball next year.
Good answer.
Okay. Guys, bingo or bogus? I wish we could play the sound effects again like we used to back in the day, but sadly we cannot.
Oh, can't.
Do you think what Rob Manfred is saying is true to what's currently taking place?
I think they're talking.
Or do you think it's lip service?
No, I think they're talking. I think that's true. I think that's what he would like.
He wants to play baseball.
Yeah, I think.
But they want to do it under their terms.
Yeah, I think both sides. Exactly right. Jeff hit the nail on the head. Did they put a pitch clock on their meetings then?
Percentage of odds.
Did they start with one runner at second base?
Percentage of odds that we will start the season on time right now, Jeff Phelps. Just toss out a percentage.
60-40 start on time.
Wow.
I think they get her done.
5% chance we start on time.
I love your optimism. I
think they get her done.
I'm Billy Negative. Sorry. 5% chance they start on time.
Baseball's done a nice job. It's kind of, people are, seem to be, anybody who was not in the game seems to be getting back into the game. I think it'd be a really bad time for them to derail what's been some pretty good momentum.
The only way that happens is if they don't come up with something complete and they say, you know what, let's agree to play under the terms of the agreement now for another year. That's the only other way that happens. It's have Jeff's optimism. I can't. Somebody wants a salary cap, right?
One group wants a floor and the other one wants a cap.
Right. So I think that if they were smart, they'd just extend the agreement out for another year and give themselves a little bit more time to try to come up with something that's going to work. Because at this point, it just doesn't seem like they're going in the right direction. And that's just from stuff I hear and I read. Yeah. So why not just extend the agreement? If you really feel like you can make progress over the next year and we're not going to sit here and listen to the two argue about the floor and the cap and not come up with some kind of viable answer for the whole thing, then just extend it for another year and let's see what happens. I don't think that's going to hurt anybody. Do you?
I don't think you'll even get them. I think the best thing that could happen to get baseball back next year is if you get like Rays Brewers World Series, or if you get like Guardians.
Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter.
I think if you get like two small market clubs to where you could then point to it and say you can get it done in this situation, I think you would get baseball back faster.
The players will come back and go, yeah, we need a floor. Look at this. These two organizations that we put out here that have the lowest payrolls in baseball are making it to the World Series, and they're severely underpaid.
But it wrecks the Dodgers of ruining baseball. All right, we'll move on. We got a lot of time to cover all this kind of stuff. I want to end with this.
Okay.
History was made in Columbia, Alabama this weekend. And you're going to enjoy every bit of it. Don't Google. Stay still. Hang with me.
I'm with you.
Because this is this. And the only reason I say that is this story is right up your alley and you're going to love it. And okay, I want to tell it to you.
I don't want to run out of time.
I want to tell it to you.
Tell me.
For the first time since 2015, Columbia High School in Alabama won their high school varsity football game. It was 101 consecutive losses.
Wow.
101 times they won 41-14 over Greensboro in Huntsville, Alabama. The first victory since 2015. Congratulations, Columbia High School in Alabama. That's awesome.
That's really good.
That's the reason.
Yeah, well, the best part about it was that Greensboro, Alabama, has now been annexed to Tennessee because Alabama's embarrassed by them. You can't have anything that close, wow. So they sent them off to Tennessee.
You're out.
I've been listening to way too much Riley Green, folks. Let me just tell you that.
You're out. And be thrilled that we're not sending to Mississippi.
Well done, Dano.
Yeah, I thought that was awesome.
Well done.
That's the kind of stuff that's cool.
That's what we want to hear.
Good for them, man.
Todd Monken, Browns head coach. Want to hear him, don't we?
Yeah.
The day after the big decision?
Yeah.
He's coming up in the next hour. Coming up next, a baseball team that's smoking hot. And why are they hot? Maybe because of the moves the front office made less than a month ago.
Ooh.
It's coming up on Baskin and Phelps.